A Prairie Home Companion is made possible by Pillsbury Crescent Dinner Rolls, available in your grocer's refrigerated section. Warm, light, flaky, buttery Pillsbury Crescents can help add wow to holiday dinners.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been cold there, but then we expected that, and it's been looking like snow. There's a little snow that fell here this last week, and the guys who drive the snow plows went around those long driveways out in the country, and they stuck in those plastic rods. They're 10 feet high, and they mark the ends of driveways with them so that the snow plow drivers will know where to lift the blade and leave a mountain of snow. And and got some help shoveling it all away. The tree is up by the statue of the unknown Norwegian, and the decorations are hanging out over the street, the wise men and the star and the angels and all of it. And we are heading down the road towards Advent. Celebration at the Sidetrack Tap in preparation for Advent. It'll go on all of December. The old guys hanging out there in the bar, old guys who are celebrating the fact that they're still alive. That's a good thing to know, especially as you come on into winter. And the cougar has been seen, who comes to our town every year. It's an old cougar you've seen walking out on the outskirts of town. They say that the cougars are more afraid of us than we are of them, but in the case of some of us, that can't possibly be true. They say that if you are accosted by a cougar, that you should not look like prey. You should walk away and slowly, and if the cougar is aggressive, you should throw sticks and stones at it. Which is fine if the cougar is on the ground, but if this is an older cougar who can't really chase down his prey and who crawls up into a low limb of a tree over the sidewalk where you happen to be walking, you who are wearing a sort of deer-colored coat, it's not easy to throw a stick or stone at the cougar as he's latched onto your shoulder and as he is chewing on your neck. So someday we will feed that cougar. We know that. And in the meantime, it's good for those old guys to be down in the Sidetrack Tap and medicating themselves and telling stories about winter back when winter was winter. These are old guys. They're conservative. They don't believe in reform. They believe that we are who we are. They believe that a lot of people have given up drinking and discovered that without alcohol, they still were jerks. And there are no treatment programs for jerks. So there you are without any excuse at all. They sit there in the dim light in this sort of rich brown and gold. It's like a Rembrandt painting, especially if the light is just right late in the day and the lights glistening from the jukebox and the beer signs in the mirror over the back bar and the gleam of the brass rail and those old weathered faces sitting around. Old men who have nothing to prove anymore, no honor to defend. You don't need to stick up for your own opinions. Your kids are all raised. You've given up trying to please the woman you're married to. There's no pleasing her. So you just go down to the Sidetrack Tap with all of the others and you talk and you enjoy good company, hoping to spend many, many years there and die still with a light on upstairs, still talking and making sense. 92 years old, on your last day of your life, you go down, you have a beer and a glass of bourbon and you have a hot dog and you walk away, say goodbye to all of your friends. You walk down the street and you were shot from behind cleanly by a jealous husband. This is their idea of the ideal end. Lloyd was there. Lloyd was talking about winter, back when winter was winter, he said, oh, we used to get snow. It would go on for days and days. The drifts would come up to the second story of the house out there on the farm. We'd have 12, 15 feet of snow. We had to leave out the upstairs window and walk across the hard, wind-crusted snow to get out to the barn to milk the cows. We dug a tunnel from the kitchen door from 100 feet through the snow. The kids were so excited. The snow was so hard-packed. And we dug a tunnel and we hung Christmas lights through 100 feet of tunnel. Alice thought I was crazy. She said, that could collapse on you. No, no, I said, it's perfectly all right. The kids wanted to sleep out there. At night, I said, fine, go ahead. Enjoy yourselves. She said, what if the snow collapses? I said, if ifs and ands were pots and pans, there'd be no trade for tinkers. She got so furious whenever you gave her one of those old sayings because it reminded her of her father. She said, what is that supposed to mean, if ifs and ands were pots and pans? There'd be no trade for tinkers. I said, it means just what it says. It means look at the hair of the dog. It means to a poor sailor, all winds are against you. Listen too hard and you'll hear the worst. She said, you're crazy. I went out to the barn and it was so warm out there. And the kids were there in the tunnel with the Christmas lights on through. I came back in. She was angry at me. I said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And she threw the frying pan at me. I cleaned up the fried potatoes and I mopped up the floor. And she got over it pretty quickly. She was a good woman. She's a good woman. She was a passionate woman. Alice, oh, Alice, that's where all those kids came from, was when we made up after we had a fight. And at the mention of Alice and the thought of Alice, he gets tears in his old eyes and he doesn't say anymore. Well, what happened to his wife Alice? Well, she had a crisis. She had raised turkeys from the time that she was a little girl, and she had trained three turkeys to dress up in costume and to put on skirts and to put on a brassiere and little blonde wigs and dark glasses and to dance, to do the turkey trot on on boxes. And this got in the papers, and she was elected a turkey queen, and she rode in a convertible in the 4th of July parade. She painted her neck red and she wore a cape made of turkey feathers. She was a turkey grower to please her father, but she hated turkeys. She despised turkeys. But after she got in the paper with this, people started to give her gifts with turkeys on them. She got turkey lowball glasses and turkey placemats and turkey blankets, napkins with turkeys on them, and paintings of turkeys and figurines and salt and pepper shakers, just hundreds of little things. And she was too polite to say, I don't want this crap. She was too polite. She accepted all of these gifts, and she was too polite not to display these gifts in her home. And so whenever people came to Alice's house, they'd look at this whole vast museum of turkey memorabilia, and then whenever they saw anything with a turkey on it, they would think, well, there's something for Alice for Christmas. And this thing just kept growing and growing. And she couldn't deal with it. This was about the time they developed problems in their marriage. Their kids had grown up now, and it was just the two of them looking at each other across a breakfast table and wondering what it was they had in mind when they got together in the first place. What did they have to talk about? What was this all about? This was the time when Lloyd started smoking. He was 72 years old. He hadn't smoked in his life because he'd promised his mother that he wouldn't, but she died at 94, and so he started smoking, figuring that by the time he got lung cancer, he'd be dead from something else. Well, Alice put the put her foot down, and she said, "You can't do that in the house. You can do that in the garage." So he fixed up the garage, and he put in a kerosene heater, and he put in a nice couch and a lounger chair, and he put a refrigerator out there, and a phonograph and a TV, and pretty soon he was spending most of his time out in the garage. She seldom saw him. And then for their anniversary, without thinking, he gave her a quilt with a turkey on it. And that was when she went to live with her sister down in Sarasota, Florida. He missed her terribly, missed her. And he wrote her letters, sweet letters. He'd never done this before. Wrote her letters in a fine ballpoint hand on flowery stationery. He wrote her for more than a year before she agreed that she would come back and see him. She came back. It was winter, and he was on his way down to Minneapolis to pick her up at the airport. The roads were very, very slippery. And he was driving a little fast, and the car spun out. And it spun around 2-3 times. But it stayed on the road, so he kept on driving. But it had spun around 2.5 times. So he was driving in the wrong direction. But with the snow falling, he couldn't see that until he arrived in this strange town, in the town of Millet. And he walked into the VFW, and it was snowing too hard to drive anyplace. And he had a couple of drinks, and he met this woman there in the bar. And she was so nice. She really enjoyed his stories, and he got to tell all of them all over again. And when he left 2 days later, when the roads had been plowed, he got back home and there was a note from Alice. She'd heard all about it. She'd heard everything, and she had gone back to Florida. He misses her terribly. Even more, he regrets the fact that he slipped on the ice, hurrying to try to get in his car to drive down to the airport. He slipped and he just fell slightly and twisted to his right, and his arms windmilled around, and he twisted something in his lower back, and he's never been able to take long strides ever since. He walked out of the sidetrack tap having had a beer and a bump and another beer and a bump, and he was walking in that flat-footed sort of duck slide that we adopt in Minnesota when the sidewalks are icy. An old man walking very, very slowly, very slowly, and taking deep, deep breaths. The woods all gray, and the trees are gray, casting gray shadows out on the gray ground. And yet it's beautiful. The air smells of wet leaves, and the air smells of bread baking, and it smells of pumpkins, and it smells of wood smoke coming up from the houses. Life goes on. The whole story has not been told yet. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above that.
A Prairie Home Companion is made possible by Pillsbury Crescent Dinner Rolls, available in your grocer's refrigerated section. Warm, light, flaky, buttery Pillsbury Crescents can help add wow to holiday dinners.